Today, may there be peace within. May you trust that you are exactly where you're meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born in yourself and others. May you use the gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content with yourself, just the way you are. Let this knowledge settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It's there for each and every one of us. Good morning. I'm Bob Ross. I'm a member of your Board of Trustees, and I would like to welcome everyone to East Shore today. A special shout-out to our visitors, especially those from the Sunshine State. Hopefully bring a little sunshine with you here this weekend as well. If you're new to East Shore, we look forward to getting to know you, and hopefully you'll stay around afterwards for our coffee time in the back. A reminder that we have a lot of different volunteer opportunities that you are more than welcome to participate in, and there's a sign-up sheet out in the narthex. If you have a noisemaker, if you would remember to turn that off or put it on silent. And thank you for being here.
You could rise if you're willing and able for our opening hymn, number 76, For Flowers That Bloom About Our Feet. Good morning. I'm Bree Bird. I'm a member of your worship arts team, and we're going to hope that my voice holds out today. Each week, we gather together in this sanctuary and create brave space where we can honor our curiosity about ourselves and that which we hold holy. Space where we can share our presence together in worship and exploration, where we can celebrate our differences and trust each other with the questions that don't always have answers. Community where we can recognize that growth and learning happen in many directions and many paths. Thank you for gathering with us this morning. Jared, would you do us the honor of lighting our chalice? We light our chalice today with the words of Alexis Engelbrecht. Welcome to this community of seekers, of questioners, and of those open to the revelation that comes from experiences with one another and the spirit of life. May we remember that while we have some answers, we don't have all the answers. While we know some things, we don't know everything. And while we have lived, others have experiences very different from our own. Welcome to this community full of questions and possibilities. And each Sunday, we come to the part of our service where we honor our community's joys and concerns together. If you have a stone, please hold it now. If you didn't get a chance to get a stone on the way in, please feel free to get one now. We carry our community's joys and sorrows, celebrations and losses together as a community in many different ways. Our stones, which become part of our collective landscape, represent this. One of the ways in which we share them aloud is by writing them within this book, which sits on a pedestal in the narthex. And today it says, for Cassie Unico, who died at age 18, and for her father, Mark, who will struggle in her absence. Hold your stone in your hand and take a few deep breaths. Feel its shape and weight within your hands as you hold up what is within your heart. We will have a moment of silence to honor those we have lost, our hopes and our joys, our sorrows and our worries, those we share openly and those we hold within. When the singing bowl sounds, if you wish, please join us in placing your stone on the bowl in the altar. Spirit of life, whom we have called by many names, in thanksgiving and in anguish, bless the poets and those who mourn. Send peace for the soldiers who did not make the wars, but whose lives were consumed by them. Let strong trees grow above graves far from home. Breathe through the arms of their branches. The earth will swallow your tears while the dead sing, no more, never again, remember me. For the wounded ones and those who received them back, let there be someone ready when the memories come, when the scars pull and the buried metal moves, and forgiveness for those of us who were not there for our ignorance. And in us, veterans in a forest of 1,000 fallen promises, let new leaves of protest grow on our stumps. Give us courage to answer the cry of humanity's pain. And with our bare hands, out of full hearts, with all our intelligence, let us create the peace.
Rabbit looks for God. One day, a rabbit set out from the woods, carrying a question to all the other creatures that it meant. The rabbit came first to a butterfly fluttering in an open field and asked, "Friend butterfly, what can you tell me about the thing called God?" The butterfly thought for a moment and said, "God is the guiding wind that blows me from this field to that one and points me to where the weather is warm and I can help the flowers bloom by flying from one to another." The rabbit thanked the butterfly and continued on its journey. Coming to a horse who was grazing at the other end of the field, the rabbit hopped up and asked, "Friend horse, what can you tell me about the thing called God?" The horse looked at the rabbit, still chewing away at the sweet grass, and said, "God is the ground that holds me up, gives folks an open field to walk and run against all this lovely grass to eat." The rabbit thanked the horse and hopped further onward. A little while later, it came to a slow-running stream, and peeked over the bank. The rabbit saw a fish. "Friend fish, what can you tell me about the thing called God?" Then the rabbit raised its head back up and put one ear into the water to listen for the answer. The fish replied, "God is the water I swim in. It surrounds me all the time and gives me something to breathe and move through. It's something that everyone needs to live." The rabbit thanked the fish, bounded off again, and very soon almost ran right into a tree. Craning its head upwards to look towards the very topmost branches, the rabbit asked, "Friend tree, what can you tell me about the thing called God?" The tree answered slowly, but without hesitating, "God is the sun that feeds me and all of my neighbors and family. I spend all of my days reaching upward towards it and encouraging the shorter trees to do the same." The rabbit thanked the tree and, seeing that it was getting late in the day, set off to go back home for the night. As the rabbit was approaching its den, its neighbor, the squirrel, called out from nearby, "Friend rabbit, after your day of asking the same question over and over, what can you tell me about the thing called God?" The rabbit thought for a very long time and then said, "I can tell you that the butterfly cares deeply for the flowers. The horse wants everyone to have open fields to roam on. The fish knows everyone needs water to live, and the tree hopes its children will grow as tall as it has grown." And then the rabbit went down into its burrow and slept for the night.
Life has loveliness to sell, all beautiful and splendid things. Blue waves whitened on a cliff, soaring fire that sways and sings, and children's faces looking up, holding wonder like a cup. Life has loveliness to sell, as music like a curve of gold. Scent of pine trees in the rain, eyes that love you, arms that hold. And for your spirit still delight, holy thoughts that star the night. Spend all you have for loveliness, to buy and never count the cost. For one singing hour of peace, count a year of strife well lost. And for a breath of ecstasy, give all you have been or could be.
Pandora and Curiosity. Pandora's story comes from ancient Greece. Pandora, given a box, it was actually a jar, by Zeus, was told never to open the box. And yet her curiosity got the best of her, and she opened it. Zeus had packed the box full of terrible evils in the form of tiny buzzing moths. Out of the box poured disease and poverty. Out came misery, out came death, and out came sadness. The creatures stung Pandora over and over again and then flew out into the world before she could close the box. The world and she wept at all the evil and the pain, even as the now closed box sat there. Her husband ran into the room to see why she was crying in pain. All of a sudden, they noticed a voice calling her from the box, pleading to be let out. They agreed nothing worse than what had already happened could remain, so they opened the box again. What remained in the box to be released into the world? Hope. All that remained in the box was hope. It fluttered from the box as a beautiful dragonfly. It first healed Pandora's wounds, created by the evil creatures, before flying out into the world to seek out the evil as it traveled through life. Yes, even though Pandora had released all of the evils of the world we have today, she had also allowed hope to follow them. Everyone seems to forget the last part. If you'd be willing to join us for hymn number 301, Touch the Earth, Reach the Sky. Charlie has learned the word why. Charlie is, of course, the extra toddler you often see me or my husband chasing around after service. We call her my son's little partner in crime, and she's been his best friend since birth. The two are around one another nearly daily, and along with their, of course, favorite word, no, their new favorite words seem to be why and what, respectively. Her mom even sends me these adorable videos of her lamenting, why? Why? Charlie's preemptive launch into the why stage is just an omen of what's to come. Anyone who is or has parented or been part of a child's village knows exactly what I'm talking about. Children and the question, why? At the peak of this upcoming stage, a parent will hear why or some similar question, an average of 4,327 times a day. That is, of course, a very highly scientific statistic that I just made up in my head. Okay, perhaps I'm exaggerating a bit, but no one can tell me it doesn't feel true some days. I always swore to myself that I would never be a because-I-said-so parent. And I've come close. I'll be the first to admit that there has been a few because you can make that decision when you're responsible for your own medical bills. But I've tried my best to stick to my goals. You see, we try as parents, teachers, grandparents, or mentors to answer what can feel like an endless litany of questions, of whys and hows and whats. We try to be honest when we really don't have the answers. It can be pretty overwhelming. But as frustrating as it can be, just like the story of Rabbit, our answers to their questions help form our children's view of that thing we call God, or the divine, of humanity and even us. Our answers help them learn who we are and how we exist in the world. And we, in turn, learn about our children through their questions. The whys get increasingly hard and complex. All around the world right now, kids are standing up and asking why, and creating movements when our answers aren't enough. Last year, along with several members of East Shore and thousands of people around the country, I attended a march demanding change in gun laws. The March for Our Lives rallies were started by high school students from Parkland, Florida, who had survived a school shooting and were fed up with the answers they were given when asking why things weren't changing. I carried a very simple sign that said, "Your children are speaking. Why aren't you listening?" And it was the best explanation of how I felt. Children in my life and all over the country were asking why they kept having to go to school in fear, why laws had not changed. No matter what my feelings were about gun control, it was a why I had to acknowledge and listen to. Even if I didn't have the answer, I needed to show up to the conversation and be ready to listen. Because their questions are big. They are inspiring many and scaring others, and leading to a lot more complex conversations that aren't easy to have. On everything from gun control to gender expression, to poverty and capitalism, to climate change. But we learn from one another's questions. Even when they don't have easy answers or any at all, we've got to keep asking them. How do we hold space for those questions? When she was 8 years old, Greta Thunberg learned about climate change in school. She learned about the danger to our planet and our lives and started questioning everything. She said, "I remember thinking that it was very strange that humans, who are an animal species among others, could be capable of changing the Earth's climate. Because if we were, and if it were really happening, we wouldn't be talking about anything else. As soon as you turn on the TV, everything would be about that. Headlines, radio, newspapers, you would never read or hear about anything else, as if there were a world war going on, but no one ever talked about it. If burning fossil fuels were so bad that it threatened our very existence, how could we just continue like before? Why were there no restrictions? Why wasn't it made illegal? There are no emergency meetings, no headlines, no breaking news. No one is acting as if we're in a crisis." These were some really big whys about things that just didn't make sense to her. Why could adults ignore something that she clearly saw as an existential threat? What seemed to be her to be the biggest elephant in the middle of the room you could ever imagine. The answers from the adults around her weren't enough. It was as if the world was on fire and everyone around her was ignoring it. The lack of real answers to that pushed her into a deep depression at age 11. She stopped eating or talking. She would later be diagnosed with Asperger's and selective mutism. Speech was a struggle for her. She has said often, she feels as if she only speaks when it is necessary. In her words, now is one of those moments. Inspired by the actions of the students from Parkland, who had dared ask why, she decided she couldn't give up. Determined, she started a school strike sitting on the ground outside the Swedish parliament with signs and pamphlets over and over. It wasn't long before she wasn't alone, joined by thousands of other students and adults. It wasn't long before a 15-year-old child was speaking to the world, standing before world leaders, continuing to demand why and inspire others. One of the things she has said motivates her is that she doesn't want her grandchildren to ask her someday why, even when she knew it was a crisis, she did nothing. Her parents were obviously upset at first, but decided to listen. Not only are they supporting her, they keep educating themselves and making major life changes based on what she's taught them. They too realized the answers being given weren't enough. My favorite elevator speech about Unitarian Universalism that I heard when I first became a UU talked about how we were the church who were comfortable with having the hard conversations about the questions that don't have answers. What answers are we accepting that we shouldn't? How often are we telling one another, because that's the way we've always done it, when we could learn so much more by channeling the voice of a child and continuing to ask why? What can we learn from their bravery? What questions are we not asking for fear of opening Pandora's box? Or are those questions themselves the hope at the bottom? I, for one, will try to patiently keep answering the whys when my son hits that stage. Even when the answer is, I don't know, let's keep talking about it. Today's collection will be shared with the East Shore Ministers Discretionary Fund. The fund is used to help both congregants and members of the larger community who are in need of emergency financial assistance. It helps individuals or families with basic living needs, such as shelter, food, utilities, and medical, and other needs. Our requests are handled by Rev. Denis in a confidential manner that preserves dignity in times when people are facing many other stressors. Please, if this is your first time visiting East Shore, let the collection plate pass you by as our guest.
Thank you for your generous contributions to the wellness of East Shore. Your gifts demonstrate your stewardship of our church and make it possible for us to live our values, to love, discover, revere, and connect. As a member of the Board of Trustees, I assure you that the board will be responsible stewards of your gifts.
May we go with courage, hungry for a curiosity that challenges and changes us, knowing that our answers are never complete and the questions make us whole. We have a lot going on at East Shore today and this week. A reminder after coffee hour, if folks could stay and help move chairs out of the sanctuary after coffee hour for cleaning. We have beverages and banter on Wednesday. Next Saturday is Cleveland Pride. If you are interested in marching, please see Halcyon after coffee hour for a sign-up sheet, so that she can get information out to everyone. And there will also be a sign-making party. On Sunday is our annual meeting. Saturday is also the all-church cleanup. And I have one more announcement. Old South Church and their food pantry are looking for volunteers to help sort a 6,000-pound food donation from the U.S. Postal Service. This will take place on Wednesday, May 29th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at a manufacturing company on East Avenue in Menor. They currently have volunteers from Old South Church and Community of Christ Church, and they are also asking for help from East Shore. It should be a fun event, and snacks and refreshments will be provided. If you can't help out for the entire 2.5 hours, any time would be appreciated. Many hands make light work. For more details and to sign up, please contact Nora Nemec. And if you could join hands, if you're willing and able and feeling healthy, for our bond of union. We join hands in Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, pledging ourselves to religious freedom, which transcends all creeds, not to think alike, but to journey together.